Welcome to the BGB's podcast. I am one of your hosts, John Warren. With me is my co-host, Nikki Grayson. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, John. You sound great.
Don't I sound healthy?
You sound vibrant, virile, strong.
Yeah, let's go ahead and put up the banner I made. There we go. John is unbelievably sick.
But can you please put with not the novel coronavirus?
I was going to say this. So yesterday morning, I tested negative.
Yes.
And I didn't feel
negative
all that bad.
Oh, okay.
Sure. I felt bad, but then you and I podcasted.
Yes.
At roughly 2 p.m.
Pacific Standard Time.
Pacific Standard Time.
Daylight time.
Uh-huh. And then about 10 minutes after we hung up that call, I was like, ooh, got a little chill. Ooh.
Okay.
And then I had the driest cough.
Oh,
for about 3 hours.
That's, listen.
And I'm like, isn't that the symptom of the novel coronavirus? Like, where I'm just like, it just feels like you're.
Yeah, like, it's just shredding.
I can take a full ass deep breath.
Yeah.
But there's something here that's just like thorns.
Yes.
And so I'm just like, That's
tough.
And then I had a fever all night.
Okay, so did you do another test this morning?
I don't have another test, so I'll have to go like get one. I brought one test with me.
Well, I tested negative.
Joseph Biden sent us two tests, and I took one of them and left the other one for my dear wife.
My wife.
In case she needed one.
Yeah. Well, I tested negative today.
That's great.
And I feel sinusy. Very different.
Very different.
But fine.
Yeah.
Otherwise. Well, like, still good. Like exhausted from all of the shit that we did over the weekend. But
yeah. I was going to ask. You were, this is your first SGF, right?
Nope. So.
So this is your second SGF.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be my second one.
How was it this year compared to
the same?
Last, the same.
It was the exact same.
This is my first.
Well, it's the same but worse. Because I did much more this time.
You did
Last time I walked onto the show floor with an illicit badge and was like, wow, how nice. And then I was like, well, this seems like this. And then I left. And then I didn't have to work at all.
Right. That's a huge
This difference. Year, yes. I had to do whatever the opposite of zero work is. The diametric, polar opposite
of zero work. You had 2 days. Well, you had 3 straight evenings of live content that, as far as I could tell, you did do a lot of coordination on.
Yes.
Just like kind of, yeah, it just seemed
wrangling
that like that.
I slept between Thursday and Monday night. I slept a combined 20 hours, I think. And I was, which means that I was up for a long time on all of those days. I'm still physically tired. And like in ways where it's like I'm sore from walking. I looked at a pair of the shoes that I wore the other day and felt pain in my feet. Because I looked at the pair of shoes. So that's where I'm at. And you are, like I said, virile, strong, powerful, thriving.
Yeah.
This was your first Summer Game Fest.
It's my first Summer Game Fest, and you know, I attended several parties and events. And those parties and events were really just opportunities for people to kind of spit and yell directly into my
mouth. Yeah, absolutely.
Because several of the events, not naming names, were so loud.
Yeah, including the giant bomb after party.
The giant bomb after party was one of the most like bizarre experiences because
it was whack.
Because there was a live show at the Bellwether and it seemed good. You did have to tell people in the back of the venue to be quiet.
I did have to say that from the stage.
Now, crucially, you were one of the last people to be up on the stage. So the entire night, what had been happening I'll say this because I'm not with GiantBomb.com.
Sure.
There were some industry chuckle fucks that were back there.
Oh, yeah. I know who they are. I remember their faces.
Uh-huh.
I know who they are.
I know. I don't want to get Giant Bomb in trouble because they were invited guests. But what I'm saying, yeah. But they were having, it was a paid event for fans of the show to come out to this thing. And yeah, you could basically just hear a bunch of people talking in the back for
the whole time.
But it was a good show.
On my list. It's on my list, John. That I look. I could look at it.
See, but like the whole list. I understand that, but I just want to say that like that's so hard because
it's impossible.
Because that should not be a thing that y'all have to regulate. Those people showing up should shut the fuck up. Like they are adults.
I think in that specific situation, where we were at that venue, I think those people should have been moved to the balcony.
Yes.
They could have done whatever the fuck they wanted up there.
Right.
Anyway,
it was still a really good show. But then the after party went upstairs and I
take this opportunity right here and say if you're listening to this and you were at the Giant Bomb live show and then you went to the after party, I am sorry, that's just an apology that I'm making on behalf of myself and an apology that I'm comfortable making on behalf of GiantBomb.com. Sorry for that. That wasn't us. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry for party rocking.
That is also
that was tough.
And I was also telling everyone that I knew that was that was kind of loud and crazy. I was like, they didn't want that.
No,
like they were all upset about it.
Yes, every single one of us was upset. Which is really hard. I think there is like, if I walked out of this trip with anything, I think it is a renewed understanding and value on working alongside people who have your best interests in mind is really important. And also being able to like have a shared vision that is communicated and shared is so important so that you don't have situations where it can be misconstrued on either end. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really tough. Especially with an event as on the scale of the one that we ran,
really impressive. Y'all did so much.
Yeah, we did a lot,
and all of it was great. I really enjoyed hanging with the.
Appreciate it. It was so sick to have you there.
Yeah.
You were great on the couch.
Thanks. Yeah, that was fun.
It was a freaking blast.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really know anyone on my couch. Beforehand, I mean, I knew of a couple of them, but the married couple that's making Fear the Spotlight was on the couch with me. That's wild. I don't think I could make anything
with your wife
with my spouse.
Well,
we've talked about this a lot. We try to do things together sometimes, and I think our work styles are very different.
Did they talk about how they know each other? Did they know each other from working alongside each other already?
No.
Or no? Interesting.
No. So she worked for Nickelodeon.
Okay.
And he worked for like Naughty Dog, I think.
Okay.
And so she was kind of on the animation side and he is on like the game production side of things. And they did talk about how like they had to, because they went from being in like larger teams to smaller teams. The inclination for them was to still stay in their own lane. And yeah. when there are two Park. People, you yes. can't stay in your own you lane. You have no, to like you, do you a have lot the whole of different freeway. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was really fun when I chatted with them the next day. That's cool. Like, I think the funniest thing that I got out of that whole thing was they were like, oh, we decided to have a kid and then we quit our jobs.
That's crazy.
I was just like,
that's crazy.
Not how most folks would do it, but congrats. No.
Listen, people are stronger than me.
People are stronger than me. That is for sure. Let's go through the showcases like quickly.
Let's talk about video games, Sean.
Let's talk about video games. We got to see the SGF showcase. That was, you know, Jeff's time to shine.
Yes.
I don't know.
He turned a light on for sure.
He did turn a light on. Let's start
like Motel with 6. We'll leave a light on.
I'm Tom Baudet. We'll leave a light on for you. it's such a long shot that the words Tom Baudet would have ever been spoken on this podcast. Now we did it.
What is this, episode 2?
We did it.
It's 3. We fucking yeah, got it.
We did
it. Easy.
Easy. So Jeff's thing, ahead of time, he was like, temper your expectations,
yes.
which is so funny to me.
Yes. I think it's fair.
I think it's fair too.
I think like he's in a very weird spot where he yeah. is definitely obligated. I think I very rarely am a person who thinks that there is any sort of obligation on behalf of anybody to do anything for a group of people who are selfish and self-interested and are going to blow things out of proportion regardless of what you say or do.
Right.
However, the way that he frames this event, which is as the spiritual successor to E3,
mm-hmm.
within the bounds of that understanding, he is correct to come out and be like, mm-hmm. hey, listen, y'all, I'm not announcing Halo 2 today
right.
at this, you know? Yeah. Like, that ain't what it is. I got Lego Horizons and some small stuff.
I mean, we used to get, like, Shigeru Miyamoto on a stage.
Yes, like, absolutely.
We've lost a lot
yeah.
in that realm.
And I yeah. think that, like, he is the only person that can continue to temper the expectation of, yes, this is at the same time as that old thing. However, it is yeah. a new thing. This is what this thing is. Yes. If you're expecting those big reveals, it is Game Awards. That is that show.
Yes.
Summer Game Fest is not that, yeah. but also still continue to be excited because there was stuff in here that I was like, hell yeah, about.
Well, let's talk about that. What kind of stood out for you as like stuff from that showcase specifically yeah. that you were interested in?
Do you have Lego Horizon here? And I love to dunk on Horizon. So unexpected. Yes.
Oh, so I like to dunk on Horizon too, but the cool thing about... So a lot of people I felt like were like, who is this for? I was like, me, who yes. fucking hates Horizon.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm like, now you got me.
Yeah,
now, I know that Aloy, because it's a Lego game, is not going to be fucking annoying.
Yes.
Because like her entire personality is being fucking annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, you know, you're good.
Yeah. It's working in, so they're making it seems to be a retelling of the events of the first and second games, kind of correct. Amalgamated. In Lego form, it also seems to be crossing over some of the stuff from the other Lego games that are non-licensed, which includes uh-huh. like Lego City Undercover 2, which is where that's the hot dog crazy. Is from, which is very, very funny to me. Lego City Undercover 2, folks, if you haven't played it, is really good. It's just Grand Theft Auto for children. It's just Lego Grand Theft Auto. It's pretty good. But yeah, it just seems to be... Are you opening like the Ark of the Covenant? You want to just open the whole thing real fast? What are you doing? What is this?
This is the most irresponsible podcasting I've ever done. I'm trying to see how long an Advil is supposed to last.
Oh, like 8 hours. If that, 4 to 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours. Just fucking rip it Rip it.
4 to 6 hours. Yeah, I took one at like 5 a.m. this morning, so I'm going to take another one.
It's time.
I'm really sorry, folks. This is, just, you know.
Listen, you got to do what you got to do. All right. Anyway, it looks really good. It's an amalgamation of the first and second games' stories.
Yeah.
With kind of that marriage of their original stuff. It's not a Traveler's Tales joint. It right. seems to be a Sony Guerrilla led
collab.
And yep. yeah, and Keyworks, I think, is the other name of this. Keywords. No one's quite sure. It seems fine. Like, it seems like they've pared down all of those things. One of the things I really don't like about Horizon is how fucking self-serious it is when it's a video game that has robot dinosaurs in it.
I know. Yeah.
Like, nothing about that world is enthralling to me as it currently mm-hmm. exists, but the framing of a Lego game is intriguing to me.
Yeah.
Did you get hands-on with this or no? Did you just look at it?
I did not. I think some other people did get their
Many
hands on.
Many people did.
But no, I was not one of the lucky ones to be invited. Maybe next year when, everyone forgets who I am. They'll be like, oh, sure, we'll invite you in. I didn't get a chance to play it, but I know some people did and they enjoyed it. Just, it's one of those, you know.
Yeah, it's like, it's a Lego game. Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like it is not breaking the mold.
No.
At all. It's a Lego game that is Horizon skinned.
Which is
what is Wanderstop?
I don't Wanderstop is the so that trailer was the lady running the tea shop in like enchanted forest thing.
And then she gets scary.
Yeah, then she gets scary because it seems like maybe she used to like kill people for a living.
Yeah,
maybe.
For a living. Yeah.
And like I think if that had been a trailer for a game made by basically anyone else, I would have been like, okay. But is that actually good? But it's from Davey Reedon, who did Stanley Parable and the Beginner's Guide. And I'm a big fan of the Stanley Parable. That was one of those like early examples of video games like massively subverting expectations, being kind of tricky and weird, and from an indie perspective. And I really like that. And so I'm expecting some of that magic here.
Yeah.
So I liked that. I thought that looked pretty good. I also was honestly maybe most excited about that Power Rangers game.
Yeah, dude, that was fucking sick.
It looks really good. So Power Rangers Rita's Rewind is kind of in that vein of Streets of Rage 4, the Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge game of like taking an older, mostly beat-em-up property and putting it into a new package. What I really liked about the Power Rangers one is that it seems to be mashing genres and actually some art styles together.
Yeah, that first clip to that Mode 7-esque, like minecart situation seemed cool. The Zord battles seemed to be first-person brawler.
Which is rad.
Segments, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Amped. Really, really amped about this game. This game has a lot of good style. It's from Digital Eclipse. Who is good at this kind of stuff.
I think I left the showcase actually being like most positive that would be.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I'm most sure that game is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Which is wild. I mean, we did not, I don't think we got good Power Rangers game properties when that was on the air.
I'm sorry.
Still.
Listen, nope. Well, okay, two things. Power Rangers still on TV. Second of all,
that's true.
Power Rangers Time Force for the PlayStation 1. Bad game. But
okay.
I liked it when I was 7.
Got it.
So consider that, you know?
So consider that. Consider that. I will consider that. I'll take that under advisement. Thank you so much. I'll post a notes app apology later if I feel like it is.
Thank you so much. That's all I was looking for.
And then we got like a really long, we got two really long advertisements.
Yes.
One was
Which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, I was just going to briefly mention the I think it was literally 5 minutes long. The I don't even know what the game is called.
No one knows what the game is called. That's why
it's so bad, because nobody knows what it's called.
They paid $1 trillion. They had not Kim, know what the game is called.
They had Kim Jong,
yes.
Christina Ricci,
yes.
Will Arnett,
yes.
A girl I didn't recognize, unfortunately.
And Chris Hemsworth.
And Chris Hemsworth.
Yes. Not Liam.
Who is in Furiosa right yes. now.
Yes.
Thor.
Yes.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
And he also seems to be having the most fun out of all of them.
He's having a freaking blast. Yeah. You know why, John? Because he
got paid a fuck ton.
Unbelievable amount mm-hmm. of money for one day's worth of work, where he had to mm-hmm. drive around Burbank and yell at a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I also would be fucking amped.
I would be pretty psyched about that. Yeah.
He got paid crazy amounts of money. Yep. You get two opportunities, Sean, to name this game from Supercell.
Superstar Clash.
Nope. Incorrect.
Okay.
I'll give you three, so you get two more.
Okay. Clash of Brawl.
No.
Okay.
I understand the thinking, uh-huh. but no.
Brawl Clash
is incorrect. No.
Okay.
The answer we're looking for is Squad Busters.
Squad Busters.
Yeah. So that they paid a lot of money. And listen, here's the thing. That game is going to make $17 trillion.
Uh-huh.
$17 trillion American dollars over the span of one calendar year. Mm-hmm. But not a real game.
It's not a real game.
I just don't think it's real. What do you think it is? They didn't show any fucking gameplay.
Well, I just looked it up.
Okay, does it look like Clash of Clans?
No, it's called a casual strategy game where the player collects coins and gems from other squads, from loot scattered across the map, and from monsters.
I don't actually
know what that means.
If you Google Squad Busters,
mm-hmm.
I clicked on something, and then the first result it gave me was a Reddit post that said Squad Busters is incredibly boring.
Oh, that's really funny.
That's the name of the headline. It is just a running simulator. There is no skill or strategy in the gameplay at all. No way to control fights or interactions. The heaviest RNG gameplay from Supercell ever. It's like the game was meant to be played by dopamine overstimulated 8-year-olds. I don't see how anybody above 12 enjoying such a mindless, chaotic gameplay. Hopefully they make a 180 degrees RE design. Otherwise, it has no future. So it seems like the audience, this is on the Clash Mini subreddit. So it seems like the audience is really resonating.
Yeah, it looks, oh my God. I'm actually going to pull
the trailer up. So that we can see it?
No.
So that we can all have a good time?
No.
Turn it off.
No.
Turn it off.
No, this is mostly what, I think this is so funny. This is mostly what you get when you look at Squad Busters on YouTube. It's like this kind of looking guy. But short beard.
How many eyebrows. Views does this video have? Oh, don't scroll down. I'm going to say 126,000 views.
41,000.
Oh, thank Christ. This is nothing.
Yeah, this is like a beginner's guide for a video game that does appear to be something where you just run around. You run around and everything kind of happens automatically.
How do you need a guide for that? We fucked up. What if we went back to Tencent and said, can we make this?
Let's make Squad Busters.
You can pay us anything. We'll just make this.
Yep.
Sad. Agreed. The other advertisement, though, was for a game that does seem good.
Yes.
Skate 4.
Which is Skate 4.
Or also, as it has been renamed, skate period.
It's just been skate period.
Yes.
They brought Tim Robinson out. That was a big ad.
He's in charge of a company called M Corp.
Yep.
They seem to be the bad guys in the lore.
Oh. In the lore. In the skate lore.
So it seems like, John, I've leaned back.
Uh-huh.
And the chair has rotated all the way around.
It rotated all the way around. I see that.
Mm, I've done it. The bad guy in the lore of the skate video game. Now, how familiar are you with the lore of the skate games in the past?
I'm not very familiar. I mean, I've played a lot of Skate 3, but I don't think I ever paid attention to.
So in Skate 3, the lore is pretty rich. Jason Lee is there, and he is wearing a headband, and he says, do a kickflip, and he teaches you how to do a kickflip. And then Rob Drydeck is there, and like Ken Block is there. I don't think Ken Block is there, but like none of the skateboarders that you would attribute to be. Yeah, like Tony Hawk's not in there, obviously, right? But like some of the skateboarders in there. And then you do tricks, and there's no story is the thing. So this one, it seems as if they've decided to do a narrative.
Yes.
Which I think is silly, and I kind of appreciate.
Yeah, I think it's silly. You know what else is silly? That they're calling it pre-alpha.
Yes, which we were talking, John and I were talking about this as we were walking up and down campus, but like, the first time I played the video game Skate 4, we still worked at Fanbyte.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's how long ago when it was in pre-alpha then. So it means one of two things. Either they're lying about what state the game is in for marketing purposes, which is fair. Fine. They're allowed to do that. It doesn't really make a difference, actually. Or they have actually been working on the mechanics of the video game this whole time and still don't have any of the rest of the video game around it.
Yeah.
Which is also fair. Which is but seems more plausible than anything else.
Right.
And that's tough because what that sounds like to me is that actually this game is not coming out until like 2026 at the earliest, which is a really long time.
It's a long time.
To be in development for a free-to-play skateboarding. Remember, this game is going to be free to play and they're trying to get it on mobile. Do you remember this when they said this?
I do.
So like
that's a big problem, I think.
Yes, that's a lot.
I don't know how they feel about going back on that, but I would consider it.
Yeah, no one, they don't need to be on mobile. This game doesn't need to be on mobile.
They don't need to be on mobile and it doesn't need to be free to play. I will give you $70 for this game, and then
we don't have to worry about it. Yeah,
you have the money. You have the walking around money.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. I think it's kind of strange that they are not just in a stage, and I kind of feel this way about Valorant as well, which was announced during the Xbox thing, which is coming to console. Oh no, that was during SGF. Actually, Valorant coming to console. I think as a society, we have moved past the limited beta.
Mm.
I think we just put the game out in early access, be like, it's $30. Here's what it is.
Yeah.
And then it'll come out later. Like, I don't think we need to do this time. Do everyone like hunker down, play the game for a weekend situation.
That's more about data collection, right? Don't you think?
Yes, it is. But like, you know, when you get more data and also free money.
The money is when
you put it in early access.
The feedback you'll get when you go wide is going to be partially from people you don't care about hearing from.
That's fair.
But I mostly agree with you. I don't really see the purpose anymore. Like if people are used to it, the thing that I'll say, I think we mentioned it on two episodes ago, is like, Diego Arguello wrote about the Rogue Prince of Persia and was like, how many early access games are we really going to be?
Yeah. How many of these do we need? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And if we're starting to ask that question now, then that's probably closer than we maybe think.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in that, but I think largely I agree. I mean, I think it's kind of a silly, you know, maybe a scale issue too. Like, you don't want to scale up.
Yeah, it does. It also does seem that that studio is kind of small still. Full Circle is the name of the studio. They just I just saw a thing come across my LinkedIn that was like, we're hiring, and they're hiring for like 10 roles.
Wow.
So it's like, it does seem like they are scaling. Their team is A, small right now, and B, that they are actively scaling. But I don't know. I'm excited. I would just like to be able to give them some amount of dollars so that I can play the video game as it exists, because I think that would be nice for me, even if wasn't done yet, you know?
I think the thing that we were both talking about that I definitely feel strongly about is, you know, if this game is in pre-alpha, whatever that means, like, that game got so much of its latent popularity out of being a really sandboxy, fun skating simulator and not something that is a super coherent package.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm just kind of like,
if you don't have
like, we could go ahead and play it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, like, what have you been working on if not that sandbox
part right.
for the last 3.5 or 4 years? Oh, not that long. But, like, you know what I mean. 2.5 years.
I wonder if they actually get worried that if they open that up to the public at all right now, that they would find out that most people don't really give a shit about all the stuff that EA really wants them to put in the game.
Sure. Probably.
I don't know.
I mean, because, like, how do you monetize without turning into Fortnite? That's what I'm saying, right? Uh-huh. It's like, it's hard. It's hard. Luckily, not our problem to solve.
Not our problem to solve. But we also watched the Microsoft one.
Yes. Great.
Great.
That's the best one they've had in
years,
I think. I've shrunken behind this.
You have.
Behind the Chiron.
Say more, because I think I have a different take on it than you do.
I think that from the perspective of, did Microsoft talk at all or give me any sort of like inkling or inclination that they were forward facing with any of the stuff that they said today over the weekend? No, absolutely not.
No.
All of this stuff seems like,
we know that the strength of this slate
or what I am identifying as the strength of this slate is born out of decisions that they made ages ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not about decisions that they've made looking forward.
Right.
There were games in there, and really my barometer for was this show successful was, were there multiple games in that showcase that made me go, oh, I want to play that right now. Oh, fuck, I can't play that right now. I will become excited about it for later, you know? And there were multiple games in that showcase where I was like, hell yeah, dude. I can't wait to play it. Fragpunk? What if we built the whole video game out of the cheat code? That sounds great.
That's a really good idea.
That's a really good idea.
Yep.
Doom the Dark Ages. It's just Doom except medieval times.
Yep.
Sick. Awesome.
Yep. Yeah. I love that the Doom guy is just like totally normal, except he's got like a fur cape.
Yes.
Or whatever. That's it.
That's great. That's all he needs. That's all he fucking needs. Perfect Dark seems generic right now, but competently made.
It looks like an
immersive simmy, which is sick. Like
definitely cooler than I thought it would be.
Yeah, no, like, and I definitely was struggling to, because they could have. Perfect Dark Zero, I think, is one of the most bestest games ever made. Goodest ones. And a lot of people are talking about Perfect Dark Zero. So it doesn't seem like you agree.
I wasn't a big fan of Perfect Dark Zero.
Mm.
Do you like being wrong? Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I wasn't even a big fan of the original Perfect Dark.
I like Perfect Dark Zero more than I like the original Perfect Dark. Well, that's something toxic about me.
Well,
that's just how old I am. Yeah,
but you also would have been like 3 years old when the original came out. So
that's just how old I am.
Yeah.
There's a level in Perfect Dark Zero where you have to fight your way into a club, and there's a song, in Nile Rodgers' Perfect Dark Zero where you have to fight your way through a nightclub. Yeah, where you have to fight your way through a nightclub, and there's a song in there called Limelight. It's a freaking banger. Jordan, Limelight, can you put that in?
By Rush?
No, it's different.
Different song.
Jordan, you can put it in right here.
Yeah, thank Jordan, go ahead and put that in. Thank you.
Your face is in the limelight.
We got it. That's it. That's the song. I thought Perfect Dark Zero. I mean, I thought Perfect Dark looked great. I was really excited about. I think Fable is going to be really interesting. I am excited about Fable.
Yeah, me too.
I am excited about Perfect Dark. I'm excited about Doom the Dark Ages. Let's talk about Gears of War. Are you a Gears of War person?
Nope. Means nothing to me. So I know the guy that put his hand up to get grabbed, Dom. Mm-hmm. He died because no one bought his t-shirt. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Is that that's correct?
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, that's canonically what happened.
That's okay. So that's all I know. But in this one, they're going back and people bought his t-shirt. Is that correct?
People bought his t-shirt. So
in
he's
this
back.
Timeline.
Yeah, in this timeline.
Is the mimetic value of the hand thing, did he miss the grab when he died the first time?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Okay.
That feels possible.
It seemed like there was some sort of like.
Well, those two were besties. And then,
and then
I think they both died. I think. I frankly don't know much about Gears of War.
They either. Both died?
I think they both die. Yeah.
Damn. I think they're back now. So that's
back. Because this is a prequel. It's the day that the locusts invade.
Okay. Those are the bad guys?
Those are the bad guys.
Okay.
And it's E-Day, which is...
I didn't like these games because I didn't think they felt very good.
Yeah, I don't think they feel very good either. Active reloading is fun.
Yes.
But
every other part of it didn't feel good to me.
This is not a good one.
I think they're very pretty games. I do think that they do a lot with the grimdark brown, red, black oeuvre color palette. And then Gears 5, which is the most recent one, that game was very good looking from what I saw.
Yeah, I agree.
But people were amped about it.
We're going to keep talking about the Xbox Showcase right after this break, because we've got a special guest joining us. We'll be right back.
Now, find a new rival.
Hello, we are back on the other side of... Well, that's not an ad break. We don't do ads on these things, at least yet.
Not yet. Unless... Not yet.
Jeff, get at us. We are joined in the second half of this podcast by the one... The only, the final Fanbyte intern, the current Game Informer associate editor.
Yep.
Okay.
Exact.
Nailed that. And you also do some stuff for MinMax. You were there at SGF for MinMax. It's Charles Hart.
Hello. What's happening?
Charles is 100 feet tall. A lot of people don't know this.
Wow. People don't know this. I'm really tall. Yeah.
Charles is so really tall. So easiest person of the weekend to find for me.
Absolutely.
And that made my job actually legitimately easier.
That's nice. I do enjoy being that. That was always a thing of people were like, yeah, I like lost my parents in a crowd growing up. I was like, actually, my dad's just like above all the other.
Yeah.
You can look at the above the aisles in the grocery store and tell where my dad
oh my
is.
God.
He's poking over the top. So yeah, I enjoy being I went to my friend's graduation. I'd never met her family, but we were like waiting for her outside the graduation. And I was just like, I'm just going to stand here. She'll see me.
Yeah.
She'll know where I am.
And did it work?
I'll be the beacon. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Fast. Yeah. Yeah.
Easy a beautiful mobile beacon.
Yes.
But yeah, a moving lighthouse. That's fine.
I do like that. Charles the Beacon.
Charles the Beacon.
Be a good like superhero name.
Yeah.
Beacon.
Uh-huh.
Beacon. Uh-huh. That's good. That was your first SGF, right, Charles?
It was my first any games industry event ever.
Wow.
So, yes. It was my
first SGF. Big one to be your first one.
Yeah. That was exciting. How did you enjoy it?
I liked it. I was expecting to be very overwhelmed by a lot of stuff. My cats are trying to share a chair right now, and I don't think it's going to work.
It's not going to go out. It's not going to work out.
Too bad. I was expecting to be like really nervous and having like a rough time, and I like acclimated to the vibe like surprisingly fast for me. I feel like I went with Ben Hansen and Janet Garcia of Min Max. Mm-hmm. I had met Ben before. I hadn't met Janet before. And there's a nice thing of like spending that amount of time with people, and then you like calibrate to their vibe, and then by the last day, it's like, all right, yeah, we're chilling.
Yes.
Does Min Max have the tallest and shortest person in games right now?
Potentially,
I think it's close. I think it's close.
There is someone there that's shorter than Janet, from what I understand.
That's crazy.
I think it's Kelsey, but I haven't met her in person.
Okay,
so might not even be real.
Might not even be real. This
is sorry, Kelsey. Sorry, Kelsey.
As far as I knew, neither of you were real until
that's
this weekend.
So fair, so valid. That's true. Entire time we worked together, I was like, I don't know. Could have just been sending a check to a stranger.
I mean, yeah.
Not a real person.
Kind of were.
And I kind of was. Kind of was.
You know where that money was going.
What was your assessment of the SGF? Had you been before, Nikki?
Yeah, this was my second one. My first one credentialed for real. The first one I went to, I wasn't. popped around, snuck in a little bit, and then was around the Giant Bomb stuff over the summer or last summer. And then this year, obviously, was working. I thought it was good. I think we got a question in the Q&A section thing that we did before the GB live show, the ticketed one. That was like, how do you know that you've made it? And this person was very kind. But then after we talked with them, they're working on like one of the biggest video games, like a AAA title, quadruple A title. And I was like, come on, like relax. But they were like, there is something that I
feel. Hi, I'm Phil Spencer. Quick question. How do you know when you've made it?
It was like, they were like, since E3 as an institution doesn't exist anymore, how do you feel about Summer Games Fest as its replacement, basically? And like, can you feel like the question basically was like, are you allowed to move the goalposts on accomplishment if the institutions don't exist anymore? And my answer to that question was like, well, you can only go to the things that exist. You can't go to stuff that doesn't exist, you know?
You play the teams that are on the schedule.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's like,
if this is the thing that is now and you decide that this is what you think the peak of it is, then yeah, you did make it. You got your thing to the dance, you know?
Yeah,
right.
And like, I do in a lot of ways feel like this is the dance, right? Like there's two of them every year. It's this and Game Awards. That have the prestige and framing, by which I mean like so deeply, by which I mean it is for game makers and media and not for
fans.
The fans, you know, like PAX does not,
which I did appreciate that
a lot, deeply. And like,
I heard IGN Live was very cool.
Yes.
I did not get over there. And I'm glad that there existed an event that fans could show up and play games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. But I was energized by the fact that there was nobody else in that campus.
Yeah, except for it was nice. Yeah,
it was kind of cool.
There was one kid I saw.
There was a child.
I don't know what their deal was, but
I know who the child is. The child is one of the child's of one of the producers or directors on one of the Amazon games.
Okay. I thought that because they came up. Should I talk about this kid?
Yeah, absolutely. Weird? No, allowed. Don't bring your kid to this stuff.
I mean, don't dox the kid and don't say the kid was like ugly or something, but yeah.
But you can't list their social. So within those bounds.
It was basically, they came up to us and again, don't know how old this kid was. They also had been eating one of the blue, they had like Sonic the Hedgehog ice cream thing. Yes. Their mouth was so blue, which really added to the vibe of the encounter here.
Yes.
Came with us, and I was with Janet Garcia and Blessing from Kind of Funny. And this kid was like, how many followers do you guys have? And I was like, and Janet was like, I don't know.
And
Blessing was like, too many to count. And the kid was like, no, but how many followers do you have? And Blessing was like, you know, a million on Instagram, a million on TikTok. He was like, wait, you have a million followers on TikTok? Do you want to go talk to my dad?
No. You want to go talk to my dad?
He's on the way to this other thing. But I love that
rules. You want to go talk to my dad?
Like, such a very hard and fast clout gatekeep.
Yes.
Of like, if I had said I have 1,000 followers on Twitter, they'd be like, oh.
They would have killed you.
The kid would have kicked your shin.
Get good, I guess. if you get me another Sonic Pop, you can talk to my dad.
Anyways, that was the only instance I had where I was like, that person was weird.
Yeah.
Did y'all get to meet Trooper the dog?
I saw that fucker. Listen, I think...
Is this a real dog?
It's a real dog.
It's a real dog.
This dog got a news cycle.
He got a news cycle. You know why he got a news cycle? I know Barley didn't get a news cycle.
What's that about?
Did Lando the cat get a news cycle?
Oh, we can start one.
I don't know why Barley didn't get one. I think Barley
got some questions.
I think Barley got a lot of exposure.
Exposure, but I want a news cycle for my dog.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like if my dog's Visa is like, up for renewal,
right?
I want to be able to submit a Kotaku article about my dog.
Mm-hmm. You know? I think Barley is like a very well behaved dog.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But if she ever started following you around,
yeah,
I would think it was out of like social anxiety.
Sure,
and that's not like this dog was like I am a human.
Yes.
Trapped in a dog's body.
Yes, at this event.
I am at this event with my surfer yoga teacher guy who's on the design team.
Yes.
And I just follow him around because I'm not. And then he came to the Capcom booth and he basically stood at the front of the Capcom booth and essentially just kind of flagged the dog forward. And the dog just started to visit people in the tent. It was so odd. I was like, what is this? And he was like he's so sweet, so cute.
Yeah, but it was Jack weird. Russell I'm like, it situation. Does feel,
yeah, it was like a Jack Russell Chihuahua mix.
Yeah.
And just it was like the most well-mannered dog I've ever met.
Good dog. Yeah, great creature.
Great creature. But listen,
I'm fine to see, there. Because you know where I didn't see Trooper? At any of the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Trooper wasn't at the J-Dub.
Trooper wasn't in the Monster Hunter Wilds demo.
No. You know where I wish I wasn't? The J-Dub. Any point. That place fucking sucks.
The J-Dub.
I'm glad you agree. Because everyone kept being like, you're going back there later. And I was like, I guess if everyone's going to be there. But
pulling back the curtain a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Weeks and weeks ago, I was like, what if we had a different event? A different place, and we weren't stuck at the JW. And actually, it really wasn't my idea. It was more Nikki's and some other people's. But I was like, let's just do it. And then after having kind of experienced SGF, I'm like, we have to do that next year.
That's why I pitched it the first fucking time.
I understand. I didn't try. I didn't believe it.
That's okay.
That hard.
But the JW fucking sucks.
It stinks.
It literally is just it's the most soulless hotel bar on the planet.
Yeah.
And then like the first night that Friday night that we went and the liposuction convention was also there.
Yeah, there was a liposuction convention.
Liposuction event.
They had had what appeared to be the liposuction convention prom.
Yes.
And like they were dressed like they went to prom.
And simultaneously, there was a USC football booster event.
Oh my god!
Also in the that bar area, in like the secondary bar.
Ooh, man! No wonder the vibes were fucking.
So yeah, so that was ending. Oh, you hadn't gotten there yet. Charles and I were talking, and I was talking to you, I think, right? And I was like, I wonder what's in there. And I walked away, and I poked my head in, and then I was like, they're doing the Dougie in there.
Oh,
that was definitely not
me. Was that not you?
That would be the only thing I talked about all weekend. They're doing
there was
Dougie.
There was
did you open a portal into 2013?
Honestly, I moved that curtain back, and it kind of did feel like I opened a portal back into 2013.
That's so weird.
They're all
just yelling, "We got to get Reggie's trophy back." And you're like, "Whoa, I really did step back in time."
It was crazy. It was like 45 to 50 year old like moms and dads, mm-hmm, boosters for a football team doing the Dougie. There was no one under the age of 30 in there.
That's crazy.
It was nuts.
No one, they didn't even have to teach anyone how to Dougie
because they already knew. They invented the Dougie. That's how old they are. South of Midnight though, huh?
Yeah, I want to talk about South of Midnight. So we were talking about the Xbox showcase. Few of the games that look good there, and South of Midnight was probably the game I was most interested in coming out of that show. We had gotten a very story heavy trailer before that, like a year ago, and I thought frankly it was just going to be some sort of kind of narrative based
I thought it was going to be a
low-key
a life is strange.
Life is Strange. Instead it looks like God of War.
It's a real video game
legitimately. Like, I was watching that, I was like, oh, this is basically like a God of War kind of platforming action-adventure game. I really liked this. I want to give y'all the floor to tell me what y'all liked about it and kind of what you expect.
Charles, you want to go?
Yeah, I was really interested by this trailer. I feel like I need to, like, watch it a second time to really, like, absorb everything. Because I saw it and I liked it. And then it's been in, like, every conversation I've had about SGF since then. It's been a thing. It was really cool. I'm always a fan of, like, the... It's everywhere because of Spider-Verse, and I'm not mad at it. Just the, like, skipped frames animation. I think it really gives, like, a...
I think it's pretty cool.
Stylistic vibe to it. I also really appreciate of, like, whenever it comes to, like, a game's art style, like, looking at the game, and it's like, I have no question about what this game is. Like, I know exactly what this is at, like, one screenshot, which is really cool. And also the, like... setting, it's like in like a bayou, right? Like, that's not a place we see very often in video games. There's like
it's a southern U.S. setting, essentially, like a fantastical southern U.S., which is like not something we get a lot of at all.
It was one of those things where like every bullet point about that game just like sold me even further. And then actually seeing, like, I like Life is Strange. I maybe would have checked it out a little bit if it was a Life is Strange, like, which again, I knew I didn't even look into this game. This was just based off the vibes of that first trailer. Knowing what it is now, it's like, oh, I'm definitely gonna play this game.
Yeah.
This is gonna rock.
You get a double jump, you get a hang glider, you get
a hang glider, you get a grapple hook. Zippy.
Yeah, zippy line.
Grapple hook sold me out.
Some weird stuff is like there's a
big talking fish.
You're traversing this bayou, and then you get to kind of the top of a church. And I thought it was really strange that the song that was playing had a full lyrical component, like a full singed. And I was like, well, that's, I just don't see that.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Looks good.
Big alligator.
Big alligator.
Big alligator.
Big fish.
She's riding a catfish, which is I think is a great touch that it can talk. I'm definitely excited to see more of that.
Did they
game.
Give a date for that, or just 2025?
I think it's just 2025.
I think so.
So that could be any time.
It doesn't even mean 2025.
Yeah, it honestly probably doesn't.
Just means later.
Yeah, later.
For let's talk about Dragon Age Veilguard for a second. This is one of those games that I've been excited about because they were couching it completely, I thought, in the fact that you're going after this villain that gets established in the previous game. Sorry, Charles, you haven't played any of these, but I'm just...
Did you see the, like, behind closed doors demo thing?
I saw gameplay from the thing that they launched, but I did not do it behind.
I saw that. So there's like more in that than there was in the demo.
Can you talk about that yet or no?
Yeah, I can.
What did you see in that you were interested in?
Well, first of all, in general, I never played Dragon Age.
Yeah.
The last game came out.
These games are really different. Glenn and I alluded to that online to you a couple days ago. We were the old people explaining old games to you, but it's like,
and they're not that old.
They're not that old, but Dragon Age is like the original Dragon Age feels old.
Sure.
It's slow. Yes. It's plotting. And then it gets more and more action as you go. Anyway, keep going. Keep mm-hmm. going.
Yeah. So we saw like the character creator.
Oh, cool.
Which was interesting. And I don't know, there's four races, species, whatever you want to call them in this game. I did appreciate just the thing they've been making a black character they made in that demo I saw, and then in a lot of the marketing materials, it's like, yeah, if you could make any character, it wouldn't always be the same,
sure,
you know, Joe Fortnite white guy.
Dude.
And then like this custom character is also like fully voiced, which I thought that was like really interesting to me, of like makes him feel like a main character.
Yep.
So we saw that. We saw a scene before the gameplay where they're in like a bar. Mm. And it's like an opening cut scene of you enter a bar, you're trying to find your friend, and you can choose to like, you know, fight everyone at the bar to get the information or try to talk your way out of it. And they let us vote in the demo. And we voted. Well, I didn't vote. The room enthusiastically. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm the problem with America.
You are the problem.
Well, much like America, the room enthusiastically voted for violence. so we saw you know, big classic bar fight. And then I didn't see where the gameplay ended. But you saw that. Did you see them fight the pride demon in the gameplay chunk? Okay, so we basically saw like a early part, and then I saw the cutscene after that, which I'm not allowed to talk about at all.
Wow. Does a person talk to another person in it?
Nikki? Several people talk to several people.
Okay. Whoa.
Okay.
Wow.
But I can't say anything about that. I really can't. No, I was really excited because I like Dungeons & Dragons. It's like a big part of my identity in the past several years. And the vibes of the start of this just give me everything that I like about a good D&D campaign. I really appreciate very early on. It's like, hey, you're a character. You're just going to have a party right off the start. We're not going to make you do that awkward RPG thing of like one new party member per chapter. I like that it like starts in the middle. We have all these people. And like, you're going to finish this first like prologue mission being like, okay, I'm like in the game. It's not going to have to feel like I'm going to go 12 hours. I feel like I've started the story.
Right.
And they said they wanted this intro to feel like the ending of another game, which I think is like a good, that happens in like a lot of the Spider-Man games. They always have like the big intro section is like the end of some other adventure.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, yeah, I'm in it. I'm the
already
world.
In it. Yeah. Something that, because I've only played Inquisition and it took me a very long time to realize that Inquisition was a direct sequel. Like I knew it was a sequel, a follow-up, but like I didn't realize that the guys were the same in it.
Mm-hmm.
And some I them, think yeah. some of them, yes. But like in this one, most of the guys are the same in it. Mm-hmm. But I do have, it's a weird thing. I have questions about, and maybe you can answer this. Is there running water somewhere?
There's the window washers are literally right outside my room.
I see. Wow. I was like, what, are we flooding right now?
John, are you still in LA?
Yeah, John's still in LA.
Oh, okay. I got the notice that they were going to do window washing, and I was like, oh, I'm not there for that.
How are they doing, John?
They're doing all right.
You really hear them whack.
Yeah, they're fucking slamming that glass.
Fucking whacking the glass with these tools.
I hope they shatter the window.
I mean, yeah, like, this is just going to come in here. Or you're making a podcast.
I also like Dragon Age Inquisition.
Dragon Age is cool.
But did they talk about, I don't remember if there were any consequential decisions in Dragon. I don't remember anything about that game other than Egg Boy. Did they talk about carrying over decisions from Inquisition into this game at all, or what that would look like, or what form that would take? Is that even a thing that like is of any consequence?
They're doing that again.
Yep. Oh, okay.
They're not doing a thing where you're going to load a save,
right?
Because they learned from Mass Effect that that was difficult,
tough. So it's probably just going to be a website where you click.
I think it's more of a questionnaire in the game.
Okay, that's fine.
Where I don't, like, hey, what did your Inquisitor do? Because your Inquisitor, and I don't think this is. I mean, I've seen it online, so it's not an embargoed thing. They're heavily implying that your Inquisitor will be in this game.
Okay,
your Inquisitor.
Oh,
now you as have a
different
to,
guy.
No. I think you can try to. I don't know about visuals.
Right.
But you're basically going to be able to import every decision you made if you remember what you did.
That's what I was going to say. That's crazy because that game came out a decade ago.
Yeah. I would have to play it again.
I don't. That's a funny joke. Cool comedy joke that you just said. Yeah. Play a Dragon Age game before the next Dragon Age comes out. That's crazy. It looked cool. I'm excited about it. I really do approach these games with like the smoothest brain. No fucking thoughts about them at all. Because I have zero expectations and zero affinity for the franchise at all. I really liked what I played of Inquisition, which was all of it. And then basically, as soon as I put the controller down, I forgot every single part of it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for this one.
I really liked what I played of Inquisition, which is all of it. This is one of my favorite sentences. I don't know why that's so funny. I really liked what I did, and it was all.
It was all.
Yeah, I'm excited about that game. I think I am
very pretty.
A little doom and gloom about what that if that team exists after this game comes out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, they've got to get
there. I frankly left that Xbox showcase feeling that way about a lot of this stuff.
Sure. So that was, I think, the coldness that I detected was that like. When I said that I really liked the showcase, I like the showcase insofar as the games that seem to be ready to come out.
Or yes,
great. Yeah. What does this showcase look like in 2 years when those studios are closed? Who can freaking say? Mm-hmm. Like it'll actually be 30 minutes on new games and then an hour and a half this time on Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like that's what I'm kind of envisioning it being. Did you catch any of the Call of Duty stuff? Either of you?
No.
Like the big trailer?
Yeah. Or yeah. Like the... Oh, you
I
did?
Watch the, like, I didn't
you watched watch the whole Call of Duty thing?
I watched a lot of it, yeah.
Oh, so you know that the thing for this one is you move different? That's the innovation?
Yeah, you run different.
You run different, and also
they have real curvature around corners.
Yes.
Which is kind of cool. Like you're actually angling your gun even further.
Yeah.
Instead of just kind of doing this like binary lean.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. You know what's insane is that I left the Call of Duty stuff actually going, I might play a Call of Duty game this year.
Wow.
And it's not just because I think it's so fucking funny that George H.W. Bush and Saddam Hussein and like Bill Clinton are in this one.
Yeah.
It's not just that. It is also that I think from everything from kind of the branding to the innovations to all that stuff, it feels like an actual step forward.
Yes.
Which is only a possible with some time off from
Treyarch hasn't made one in a while. This is what happens when you give them actually a real development cycle to not have to churn one out every year. So
I'm obviously very those games are not my favorite, but I was kind of like, this looks fun to me.
Mm-hmm. You want to know a game, and then we should probably talk about the other stuff that we played very quickly before you pass away, John.
Yep.
You know, I've been playing the video game X Defiant. Y'all heard of this?
Oh, yeah. Do you like it, Nikki? Because I liked it, and then I feel like all the previews really like were so negative. Okay, good. Yeah.
I really like it.
Every time I play a shooter, I play like two rounds, and I'm like, yeah, I could play more of this, and then I never touch it again. No. But I was like, yeah, I like
it. There's something about X Defiant. It is so fucking shallow. There's nothing there. Like, so truly and so deeply. There's nothing there. I feel no reason to build a class. I feel no reason to read a single tutorial. I feel no reason to engage.
Did they do anything to this game after it got like hammered? Did they do anything to it?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's the same as it was. I did a preview like a year ago.
And yeah.
I can't tell if like whatever they might have changed was not particularly like I picked the same class I did before, use the same guns, and I'm like, maybe it's some, you know, galaxy brain gunplay engineer thing, but I was like, yeah, same game.
Yeah, no, it feels the same. There's like, it's so chaotic. The spawns are awful. The map design is really poor. I just think that it feels like what I remember Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 playing like. Mm-hmm. Which is to say that the games are really quick. The numbers get really big. Like I had a game yesterday or day before or whatever where I had like 65 kills over the course of like a 20-minute match. Mm-hmm. Like the game, like it, none of it makes any sense. You'll be playing an objective and like three people on the opposite team will die and then the game will spawn. You're defending, like you're playing domination. And then the game will spawn all of the enemy team members that died on the point with you. And then you just get lit up. And it's like, you can't get mad at it because it just seems like it's just very silly. There's one of the abilities, the Splinter Cell girl has the ability, her left bumper, it's a hero shooter, first person shooter. Her left bumper ability is she just can see through walls, so you see where the enemies are coming from. The ult is you get a gun that just kills anybody regardless of how far away they are with one hit. It's great. It's fucking incredible.
Have you only played a Splinter Cell? Because every time I played it,
I feel like
these guys are just busted.
Yeah, no, they're fucking busted. Yeah. This is the only character I've ever played as. And most of the people in the game also are playing as that character. They're playing as that or the fire guy.
It's really messed up.
Oops, all Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
You can become an invisible shotgun guy. Yes! Like, I can't think of a thing that I always do it. I can't think of something that would make me more mad. It's like, oh yeah, you died because someone was invisible.
It was literally invisible. Yeah, and that's not even the ult. Like that's their cooldown replenishable ability is become entirely invisible while moving and shooting.
Yeah.
We gotta play X Defiant.
Yeah, we'll play X Defiant. That's fine. We'll find some time.
And it's free.
It's free.
And it's free.
You can play on all of your favorite maps from the Division 2 and the Division 1.
Oh, I love it. Or Watch Dogs 2. Games.
You can play on the Noodlehead campus.
It's great.
It's great. Who of us? I haven't played Watch Dogs 2. Did you play Watch Dogs 2?
I did play Watch Dogs 2. Pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't need
it. It's the best one of those out of the two that they made.
That's what I hear. They made three.
Yeah.
They did.
Watch Dogs Legion.
Really janky.
Oh, that one's tough. Watch Dogs 2 is pretty good, though. Yeah. It also has like things to say about like gentrification and like what it is like to be a minority in San Francisco. And in the Bay as it is actively being changed. And like what it has to say is very soft.
Right.
Right. Because it's an Ubisoft game. But like it does try to say something. And I think it's cool.
The way you phrased that implied that because it was made by Ubisoft, it is soft.
Oh, well, I mean,
this is very funny. Hello, welcome to Ubisoft. We make all the games that are soft.
They're soft.
Okay, yeah, so we all played some stuff.
Yes.
some of it I still can't talk about, but I've listed some stuff here that I can. Charles, what did you play that was maybe surprising to you?
I got that Game Informer clout. So I got the ding on I played Astrobot in Lego Horizon.
Wow. Yeah, the big ones you I was played talking Astrobot. About. So can Astrobot, we kick him out?
I love you showing up and being like, hi, thanks for hiring me as an intern. Anyway, yeah. I've got the real clout now.
Nikki really just like pitched me like a baseball, just chucked me as far as I would go.
Video games. Yeah, I threw you further than I threw myself.
Yeah, I tumbled into Game Informer and it's still part-time. And I remember at the time, the advice from Imran was like, look, Charles, just ride it for as long as you can.
Ride it.
Yeah.
Game Informer's not long for this world. Just take what you can when you got it. And I'm like, still here, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
hell yeah.
Astrobot rocks. I think when I played the tech demo, Astro's Playroom, I remember playing it and being like, this game is so cool, but it's also so short. So I assumed they had condensed all the goodness into a smaller package because they're like, we just have so many good ideas and like good art and all that stuff. Yeah. We're just going to compact into this. After playing, like, I played two levels and a boss in Astrobot. I was like, oh, they're just going to do that the whole time. It was not a step down. Yeah. It was not like there was less going on. It was just like I was constantly doing stuff. In one level, there was a whole like magnet section where I could pick up these magnets and it would pull in all these like loose iron ingots that were just on the construction site. You can chuck it at stuff to solve puzzles. And then later in that same thing, sorry, I thought someone was at the door. I got a dog jetpack. Hey, he's breaking in. A dog jetpack, and I could like blast to like platform and like break through walls and stuff. Just like a bunch of cool stuff. And then at the very end, I fight this like robot octopus boss. I beat the crap out of him. I felt bad fighting this octopus, by the way. He's got like these snorkels on, and you bust out both the ears.
Yeah.
And then you punch both his eyes out so they're breaking. And then you grab ears to slingshot yourself into his face. And he does like a Team Rocket's blasting off again into the stratosphere. You demolish this guy.
Rest in peace.
And then you see like a capsized like rowboat, and then you go out there, you swim out there, flip it over. It's Kratos and Atreus as Astrobots. And then as you leave the level, they go and they spawn a like God of War spin-off level that I couldn't access yet. But I was like, that's going to be so cool.
Yeah.
And just like the fact that I feel like PlayStation doesn't have... Like, Nintendo obviously has it with Smash Bros. And all sorts of stuff. Nintendo stuff's always crossing over. But having, like, a brand concentration point to be, like, if you play this, you will get, like, a passing familiarity with a lot of their stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they... I think it is good for them to have, like, a place to have their identity kind of focused in, especially when it's, like, a good game like Astrobot.
And I think that's, like, Sony's MO for this show, right? Like, and for this year, too, is it feels like they're... When they were planning... their schedule, they were like, okay, well, we sold as many PlayStation 5s to weirdos as we possibly could. What if we sold PlayStation 5s to regular people who like video games, but for perhaps whom they need an entry point into this thing, a justification?
Right. Yeah.
If you bring home a PlayStation 5 to a child and the first two video games that they get this year are Astrobot and Lego Horizons, like legitimately and actually like will change the way that they think about video games in a way that I think is fundamentally important.
Yes.
And I think it's fucking sick. Like, it's so cool. I think you can build so many more experiences. I think the thing that I hope and wish, right, is that like when these games inevitably sell gangbusters, because they will for a handful of reasons, including that I think they will both be very good. And also, what else are you going to buy? I think there is neither of these games are expensive. They're spending much less money on Astrobot and Lego Horizons than they did on Spider-Man, for sure.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Like, probably combined, the amount of money that they spent is just Spider-Man 2 on those two games.
If even,
if that, right? And I think the reach of those games, I really liked Spider-Man 2. I have not thought about it at all since I finished playing it. Not, especially not in the way that I thought about Spider-Man 1 for the PS4 after release. I think these games are going to have longer tails. I think they're going to like stay in the conversation. And I think that they are going to be... too much phlegm. Ban phlegm.
Cancel phlegm.
Cancel phlegm.
Cancel phlegm.
I think that these are going to be games that like 10 years from now, people are going to be like, it is insane that we got Astrobot on the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. It's a thing of like, if a kid was getting a PS5, they'd be like, oh, what game should I get my kids for their PS5? I'd be like, I don't know, Fortnite, Minecraft.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's not PlayStation things. I guess like Ratchet and Clank games.
Yes.
But now like, these two are significant upgrades.
Knack 4, skip 3.
Four, skip 3.
Straight to 4.
I also played Lego Horizons. Lego Horizon Adventures is called.
Please.
I don't know if you talked about the...
We did at the top of the show, but neither of us played it.
Yeah, we didn't play it.
It was just, it's really weird because I say this all the time and people melt, but my first video game I owned was Lego Star Wars, the original Lego Star Wars. So I'm a big, I'm a big Lego person.
No, he loves
it. Did you freeze or are you just like that?
Nah, he's just like that because he's mad. Okay.
I'm a big, big Lego guy. And this is like a Lego game not made by TT Games. And so it's really interesting to see like, instead of there being like a mixture of like rendered like rocks and water and then like Lego stuff, like everything in this is Lego. Like the river is made of little Lego bits, which is really cool. They move like in the Lego movie, which is to say like they move realistically the way Lego pieces are capable of moving. And then there's like mechanics. Like I love Lego games, like deep, but they're rich not
mechanics.
Like, they're not like rich games. Like this is like there's you can hide in the tall grass. You can target like the specific spots on the enemies. If you shoot an arrow through fire, it'll light the arrow on fire, and then you can light grass and do stuff like that. And so I was just like, as I was playing it, I was like, it's really interesting to see like the things they take as important to the Lego series and the things that they're like, we can get rid of this.
Right. And it's also, I think, super interesting because in relief with like Lego Fortnite, which is kind of the opposite in a lot of ways, which is to say that like there's not, it really is just Minecraft, but less kind of less like Lego Fortnite. Yeah, like, you know, like it's just nowhere near as deep. And like to have it rich with mechanics in the same way, like I'm more excited about this. About Lego Horizon Adventure than I am about Lego Fortnite, even though Lego Fortnite seems like a bigger scale, bigger ideas game, you know?
No, those look great. I mean, Astrobot especially is one of those that I'm like, I'm actually really not a big fan of the big licensing branding tie-in game of like, we're doing, but Astro's Playroom was so clever and good. And fun from start to literally the finish because it was such a tight, short game that I'm like, I'm in. I mean, like, I think that stuff is still not what I look for, but y'all are so right about like, get that for your kids.
Yeah.
Because it's both an incredibly imaginative, cute, fun experience, and then incredibly cynically, it's a gateway drug to the rest of the shit.
For sure.
If the kid doesn't like, you know, it's so cynical, but it's true. Like, you know that that's part of the equation. Of
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Oh, those fun guys on the boat. Oh, you're telling me that there's a game based on that? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
His mom died and you gotta deal with that.
Fight God.
And you have is that to fight okay? every
yeah,
god.
Yeah, he actually has committed like, unspeakable horrors against countless atrocities. People. But yeah.
Uh-huh. It's cute that but he's in here, you though. Play
Oh, yeah, you like the guy with the cool hat? Well, he is part of a cosmic horror landscape where there are disease and pestilences, and the game is super hard. You probably really fucking hate it, but you can't do that. No, but I mean, I do think it is cynical in a way, but I also think it's just really smart and clever and playful. And
also, those games are good. Like
they're really good.
Like yes, there's unbelievably well made 3D platformers. Dan on BCR yesterday said that he would put the 20 minutes. That 20 minutes that he played up there with any Mario 20 minutes.
Yeah,
that he
honestly. Has played. Yeah,
and I'm like, for Dan Riker, Mario Man, to say that is crazy. So I'm like. Have either of you played the VR one?
I have not.
No.
Rescue Mission. That game is great. I wish there was an easy way to play it. There's no easy way to play that video game, which is nuts. but that game is legitimately great. But yeah, if you for some reason have a PlayStation 5 and did not really play Astrobot.
Astro's Playroom.
Toy Town. Oh, yeah. Astro's Playroom.
Astro Toy Town.
Astro Toy Town. So I want to talk about, I think, my surprise of the show. Because I went to Capcom booth. I saw Monster Hunter Wilds. Can I say something about Monster Hunter real quick?
Please.
Monster Hunter is so not for me. It's not a game that's made for me. The guy running the demo was like, all right, it's time to go kill the alpha monster. And it's like, you're basically lure this guy's buddies into a sand pit so they die. Then you basically isolate the alpha, which is like a big gorilla rhino dog thing. And you're stabbing it. You're stabbing it. You're shooting it. You're stabbing it. You're stabbing it. You're shooting it. It eventually runs away, limping, crying, wants to go die alone. And you're supposed to follow it and then basically like wake it up from a slumber by exploding a barrel next to it. And you just keep stabbing, shooting. But I'm realizing that like there are three things that make me feel like a moralistic weirdo about video games. One is Mortal Kombat fatalities in the year of our Lord 2024,
sure,
which are tough to watch for me. And I'm just like, boy, these are rough. Gambling, which like that's a real good one.
Uh-huh. That's a good one.
And it's also Monster Hunter, because I'm like, all you're doing, I'm not a vegan. I'm not against violence in video games, but there's something whack about like being like, all right, yeah, squat up, everyone. This mammal's begging for his life. Let's go.
It's a perfect opportunity.
We ride at dawn to stab this crying, sad animal in the fucking desert as it dies alone without his friends. It's weird. And I think they know it too, because they take every single noun that they could possibly give to these things is just monster. I'm reminding you, it is a monster. I know it looks like a dog, but it's a monster. I know that we've given it realistic patterns of like fear and like this is what happens when you isolate it from its friends. We've done all of this, but it is a monster.
It's a monster.
Make no mistake. But it's also funny because they're like, oh yeah, it won't go after you unless you stab it first. And I'm just like,
well then why?
What's happening? Why? What is this? Anyway, that game looks like the sickos are going to fucking love it. It's just so not for me. It's so weird.
Except my issue with those games is I don't think they feel good to play.
They don't feel good to play.
So
they feel like Dark Souls on skates, but more weird shit is happening.
Yes.
To me.
They're asking more of me with a control scheme that makes me feel like I'm not doing anything
that I totally want to do. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. That was not my surprise. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it always feels to me with Monster Hunter, I'm like, I don't like it. I don't think it feels good. But some, like, once you get it, like, there's always the stories of people are like,
I didn't get Monster Hunter.
And then I got it, and now it's the only thing I ever
play. And now it's the only thing I play.
Like, uh-huh. I'm like, oh, I want to get that's honestly, and I'm hesitating to even say this, but that's how I feel about Taylor Swift.
Wow. I don't really like Taylor Swift. The truth come out.
I don't understand it, Charles, but you know what?
This is a safe space for you to hate on Taylor Swift. That's okay.
I don't understand it. It's also a thing of anytime someone gives a compliment to Taylor Swift, same way they give a compliment to Monster Hunter. Like, they're like, Taylor Swift, she's just an unmatched songwriter. And I'm like, I just think I fundamentally don't agree with that. Of like, I think I like most songs more than her songs. With Monster Hunter, it's like, yeah, I love the feeling of all the like preparation and work that goes into it. It's like, I actually just like want to jump on their heads or something. Can I do that?
Can I do that?
It's so funny.
What if when I press a button, something happened?
I think you're so right, Charles, in the sense that like when people are like, yeah, Taylor Swift's the best songwriter, it's like, now, how long have you been listening to music, darling? that's how I feel about Monster Hunter. It's like, I played 1,000 hours of Monster Hunter last year. It is the fundamentally best game ever. But what else did you play last year? Did you hear me say that I played Monster Hunter for 1,000 hours?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, maybe there's some other stuff out there you should check out.
I had that conversation with my min-max boss, Ben Hansen. Not about either of these. We were talking about Pixar movies. And he was like, you know, I actually didn't hate Cars 2. And I was like, Cars 2, famously bad. And he's like, like the opening sequence with like the secret agent. And I'm like, you're saying this stuff like it makes the movie good. You're talking about like, I think you're saying it as if it's going to be the thing that wins me over. But just listing the fundamental characteristics of a thing isn't going to change my mind about it. I saw the movie too. I know what you're talking about. It was
so
bad.
Funny. So Ben comes off. The first time I had met Ben was this weekend, And he comes off on all of his content as being this like fundamentally positive person. And it's exactly who he is. It's so funny. He's like, it's just like, I'm looking at the bright side of Cars too. I'm looking at the bright side of like this crap. Like I'm so like the speed at which I talk shit about something, even to someone I don't know very well, is like, it's like hard to measure with a micron microscope or whatever. And like immediately I started to do that to Ben about something. And he was just like very bright side about it. I was like, God bless you. You're a sweetheart.
Better than me.
Better than me. But my surprise of the show, before I went into the Wilds showcase, I played about half an hour of Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess.
What is that?
Which is that super, super fucking colorful kind of Japanese folklore Capcom game.
Oh, the tower defense one.
It's but a lot of the, I feel like, and I talked to the brand manager that was at the booth, and I was like, how, like, I was like, this feels much different than I thought it would feel. And he goes, I got a lot of that this weekend. And I was like, and I kind of looked at him, I was like, trailers are hard. And he was like, yes, because I think they're in a weird position where like, fundamentally, like from a legibility standpoint, that game is not super easy to parse. But what you're doing is that you're going into these kind of like individual levels and finding these villagers, and you're hiring the villagers, you're rescuing them from this like plague, and then you're assigning them a role. And you can assign them, you can reassign them roles, you can level up those roles, you can place them places, you can have them defend, attack, all this stuff. But you're basically prepping during the day, and at night when these gates open and the floodgates come in, open, and these demons come in, you're just protecting this lady. And I thought it was really fun. I thought it was really fun. There's a ton of stuff to do. There's like a big camp where you can like level up a bunch of stuff and like, you know, find all this stuff. And I thought it was a really interesting mix of genres. And I was really surprised that they had not been focusing in their promo stuff on how bizarre and different that game is than a lot of that other stuff out there. So that was my surprise of the show. I thought that game was really good. I was like, later this year.
It's like July. Like it's like
July.
Surprisingly soon.
It's July 18th. Game Pass. It's July 18th, and it is on Game Pass. And I thought that was my game of the show.
Wow.
For me, I think it was the most fun thing I played. Cool. I played some other stuff that I can't talk. I was like, I played something in the play game, play days like main area.
Yeah.
And most everything in that main area like doesn't have a super crazy embargo, but one of them did.
I think I know what you're talking about. And,
I was like, why? I really like this, but it's I don't know why I can't talk about this for like 3 weeks. But aside from the thing I can't talk about, I think that was my favorite. Nikki, really quick, what was maybe your favorite thing that you played? And then we'll get out of here.
I really like Fatal Fury. Much more than I expected to. I don't know if that was my favorite, but I did want to mention it. I don't know shit about fighting games, but I
really,
once I got put onto the child's mode, I had a really good time.
Didn't do the classic. You did the
child's mode. Well, I tried to do the classic, and then I was playing with Mike Minotti, and then I could tell Mike Minotti was holding back, and I was still getting my shit pushed in. And then I literally had to cave and was like, "Can you put me on baby mode?" Because when you sat down at that booth, they gave you a big laminated menu like you were at a Chili's. And it had all of
not one, it was two.
Oh, it was like three.
It
was the drink, dessert, and the food menu all at the same time.
Yeah. If they'd handed me a Cheesecake Factory binder, I would have been like, oh, okay.
Okay, sure. And it had like all the move lists, all the characters on it. And I looked at it and it was like reading Korean. Yeah. I was like, I don't know what any of this is. And I put it down and I tried to do moves and it wasn't working. And then I just got stomped. And then eventually I had to be like, okay, can you help me put it in the easy baby mode where all I had to do is press circle? And then you know what? I had a fucking blast. Shit was sick.
That was one thing that I'll just say really quickly before we wrap. the difference between philosophies of the different people showing off games and like is so crazy to me. I played Tales from the Shire, which was a really cute slice of life game. And one of the publishing people sat there and talked to me about it the whole time.
Yeah, it was sick.
Like, and it was great. Like, I was like, this is really cool. Really fundamental understanding of this game, kind of some of the philosophies that they have, all the stuff. And I thought that was great. And then some people were like, here's your shit, fucking bye.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think some people do prefer that because a lot of people are awkward at these things. But I am not. I'm like, I would love to talk to people about this stuff.
Also,
and for Fatal Fury, especially, it's like, well, you can move the you can move this thing over to the left side, and there's a rev move. Like, nobody's like, look, I don't know what that means. They're like, all right, sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting across from Maximilian Dude, the streamer, who is like an actual fighting game guy.
Yeah.
And of course, he's got like five people around him being like, and I'm sitting here by myself just being like, I don't know how to move anything. You know,
how to play the game. Yes. Also, like the hesitancy, I think, when I was playing Hyper Light Breaker, which I actually think was my favorite thing that I played, which is the sequel to Hyper Light Drifter. It's a third person Risk of Rain esque roguelike.
Risk of Rain is my pull too.
Yes.
Which surprised them a little bit when I said that to them.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know why. I don't know if it was fakes. I don't know if it was fake surprise, but I was like, yeah, I got a little Risk of Rain too from this. Anyway.
Yeah. It looks really good. Not to send folks anywhere else so we can get out of here, but you can listen more of my thoughts on Bombcast Revengeance this week or watch a video. Honestly, that game is so hard to explain. It is easier to watch video clip of it to see it.
100%.
Or you could read a Game Informer.
Oh, I can read a Game Informer about it?
I think this is the issue.
Did you know that Charles writes for Game Informer?
One sec.
He does.
He's searching.
No, different issue.
Okay, so I'm being told no.
I wrote a 4-pager on that game a while ago, and it was cool. Yeah,
it's great.
So go check out Charles's words on that. Charles, thanks for joining us. Where can people find you?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm on Twitter at ChuckDuck365. I just hit 1,000 followers.
Yay! So
let's go.
Kind of a big deal now.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can subscribe to Game Informer.
You're like in the fucking post-apocalypse wasteland. You're like, I've got the best corner store.
I got verified the old-fashioned way like 2 weeks before they were like, we're going to make everything worse here. That's my Elon Musk impression. It's also the impression of that kid with the blue mouth.
I'm the kid.
You want to meet my dad?
Yeah, I mean, my dad. You have 1,000 followers or a million followers.
Game Informer, subscribe. That's always good for us. I'm on the Game Informer show. I'm over at MinMax. We're going to post a travelogue over there of the stuff we did. And then if you're over on MinMax, I DM'd a D&D one-shot.
So freaking fun.
So really good.
Fun.
Feel free to check that out.
Yeah, please do. MinMax is a great Patreon sub. You can also get Game Informer completely without going into a fucking GameStop, which rules so hard.
This is true.
I jumped on that. I think I've gotten 2 issues since I started doing that, and it's been a blast. Nikki, folks can find you at Godsua on Twitter, also over at Giant Bomb Things. Thanks, of course, for joining me, Nikki.
Thank you, John, for having me.
No, you've been sweet and patient with me this week.
I was late, so.
I know, but it's, well, first of all, no one else had to know that.
I just want to be honest. John texted me. John texted me at 11:03 saying, are we still good for today? And I missed it. 10 minutes later, he said, I think I'm just going to cancel this week's show.
Well, because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And my throat was closing. So I was like, well, I don't know. But then we rallied and we had a good episode, I think. Yeah. You can find me at Floppy Adult over on Twitter. You can also follow VGBs at VGBs basically everywhere. Go to VGBs.com/join and you will legitimately be able to finally do that by the time you're able to listen.
Yay.
Do that. This has been a sloppy launch. Appreciate everyone's patience with me as I try to launch a website by myself. Not really totally by myself, but you know what I mean. All right, until next week, folks, just keep on buzzing. Beep, 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 beep. Buzz.